Welcome back, everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two OncDocs.
This week's episode, we are going to focus on early stage and locally advanced non-small cell lung cancer. We're going to go over staging, pathology, local and systemic therapies. And before we start, the usual caveat, the treatment landscape of non-small cell lung cancer is changing fast. It is exciting, but know that boards will always run a few years behind. The big shift since the last time we did this episode was the movement to the 9th edition of the TANM staging system, which unfortunately you do need to know going to boards day, as well as the arrival of four different perioperative chemoimmunotherapy regimens. Shout out to my colleague, Dr. Barthi Muthusamy, for reviewing this episode and keeping us current for 2026.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so starting with the basics, what are the different histologies of a non-small cell lung cancer?
Definitely. So we all know about adenocarcinoma. And one thing is that we need to be aware of the IHC. So IHC for adenocarcinoma is positive for TTF1 as well as cytokeratin Selvin. One caveat is that cytokeratin 20 is more prevalent in adenocarcinoma of the GI tract. So if you're working up a cancer of unknown primary and it's CK7 positive, think adenocarcinoma above the diaphragm, lung. If it's CK20 positive, think adenocarcinoma below the diaphragm in the GI tract. Then the second thing that we think about is we think about squamous cell carcinoma. The IHC for squamous is positive for P63 and P40.
So next, how do we stage non-metastatic, non-small cell lung cancer, and what has changed?
So the big update, we're now using the AJCC, UICC, IASLC 9th edition. This was effective January of 2025, and importantly, the T categories are unchanged from the 8th edition, but really what changed is the N and the M. So in general terms, stage 1 is less than 4 centimeters, no negative. Stage 2 is greater than 4 centimeters, but less than or equal to 7 centimeters. Or separate nodules in the same lobe, node negative or ipsilateral peribronchial hilar interpulmonary nodes. So that's N1. Stage 3 is larger invasive tumors, or N2, so that's ipsilateral mediastinal and or subcrinial, or N3, which is contralateral mediastinal hilar ipsilateral or contralateral scalene or supraclavicular. The big thing for the 9th edition change is that N2 is now split into two categories. There's N2A, which is a single ipsilateral mediastinal station or subcrinial station. N2B is multiple ipsilateral mediastinal stations with or without subcrinial. This is exactly the divide of N2 news coming out of World Lung and the metastatic disease that also got broken up. So now there's M1C, which is split into M1C1, which is multiple extrathoracic mets in one organ system. And then the second category is M1C2, which is multiple mets across multiple organ systems. The practical downstream effect in this staging migration mostly reshuffled our stage 2As, 2Bs, 3As, and 3Bs. For example, T1N2A is now 2B, whereas it used to be a different stage, and T2T3N2B is now a 3B. So those are the things you just need to be aware of. Clinically, T1N0 workup, we need to have PFTs, bronchoscopy to fully stage for that mediastinal staging, as well as a PET scan. For T2 to T4 and any lymph node involvement, or if there's concerns of metastatic disease, you add on that brain MRI. And then we're always thinking about biomarker mutational testing. We will go over this many times through these episodes. And at a minimum, you need to be looking for PD-L1, EGFR, ALK, as well as RET.
Absolutely. And so what are the basics of treatment for stage 1A, meaning up to 3 centimeters node negative?
Yep. For stage 1A, again, that's T1N0M0. You're thinking surgery or definitive SBRT. Lobectomy is preferred. Segmentectomy and wedge can be used in selected cases. Adjuvant chemo is not standard.
And so next, what are the basics for resectable stage 1B to 3B? So those larger resectable tumors or node positive.
So in 2026, this requires a multidisciplinary discussion because there are now several category 1 perioperative options. First, we always need to be checking, again, EGFR, ALK, RET, and PD-L1. This drives everything. I will repeat it probably 4 more times. So if EGFR exon 19 deleted or L858R, think about surgery followed by adjuvant chemo if a candidate and 3 years of osimertinib. This is based on the ADAURA trial, which had improved DFS as well as OS. If ALK positive, the ALENA trial compared 2 years of adjuvant alectinib versus platinum chemotherapy in resected stage 1B to 3A, ALK positive non-small cell lung cancer and showed dramatic DFS benefit, including fewer CNS recurrences. So alectinib is now FDA approved and NCCN category 1 for resectable ALK positive tumors greater than or equal to 4 centimeters and node positive. Don't forget about RET. So cell percatinib is now category 1, though it's not FDA approved yet, for adjuvant option in resected stage 1B to 3A RET fusion positive non-small cell lung cancer. So one other pearl to be aware of is do not give perioperative immunotherapy to EGFR or ALK positive patients. These drivers can predict limited ICI benefit, and the NCCN explicitly steers away from ICI in this category.
Absolutely. And so what about EGFR ALK RET negative resectable disease? What are the perioperative chemo IO regimens?
So this really is where the field exploded. For patients with tumors greater than or equal to 4 centimeters or node positive and then no actionable mutations, there are now 4 category 1 chemo IO regimens. There is still no head-to-head comparison of which of these to use, whether it's neoadjuvant only or full perioperative strategy, so it needs to be a multidisciplinary discussion. We have the neoadjuvant only option, which is CheckMate 816. This is neoadjuvant nivolumab plus platinum doublet for 3 cycles followed by surgery. And the big 2025 update, the final analysis showed statistically significant overall survival benefit on top of the previously reported EFS and pathologic CR benefit. Nivo can also be continued as a single agent in the adjuvant therapy after surgery per the NCCN guidelines. Then we have full perioperative options, which is neoadjuvant chemo IO, surgery, and adjuvant IO. That includes the Keynote 671, which included pembrolizumab for resectable stage 2 to 3B, which is an N2. What they did is the neoadjuvant pembro plus cisplatin-based doublet for 4 cycles, surgery, and then adjuvant pembro. The mature second interim analysis shows significant OS benefit, plus median EFS benefit as well. Next up, we have the AGEN, the durvalumab trial, which looked at resectable stage 2 to 3B perioperative durvalumab, which did show improvement in EFS and pathologic CRs. Then lastly, we have the CheckMate 717, which looked at Nivo for resectable stage 2A to 3B perioperative nivolumab, which improved the 18-month EFS and path complete response rate. So the bottom line for boards and in clinic, neoadjuvant only nivolumab, which is CheckMate 816, or one of the 3 perioperative regimens, pembro, durva, or nivo. Pick one regimen and don't switch the ICI agents mid-course. So you pick it and then you follow whichever protocol you're going off of.
Absolutely. And I think this is really important clinically. I think on the vignette, they're not going to give you all of these options.
That's not fair.
No, absolutely. And so what if the patient is not a neoadjuvant chemo candidate and is upstaged after surgery?
Yeah, so if someone's not a neoadjuvant candidate or they're upstage after the surgery, adjuvant platinum-based chemo, then adjuvant immunotherapy if they're stage 2 to 3A is appropriate. So atezolizumab is listed as category 1 for PD-L1 greater than or equal to 1%. And again, no actionable mutations. You can give that for up to a year based on the IMpower010 trial. You can also consider pembro for up to a year regardless of PD-L status based on the Keynote-091 trial. And the NCCN says do not use adjuvant ICI, again, if they're EGFR or ALK positive, and most oncologists agree because there's lack of benefit in these.
And then next, what are the basics of treatment for unresectable stage 3A or stage 3BC?
Finally, something that hasn't changed since we graduated, Karin. Definitive concurrent chemoradiation followed by consolidative durvalumab. This is based on the Pacific trial. I'm going to call it a historic trial at this point because it's years. What this showed is improved PFS and OS. If EGFR exon 19 deleted L858R and not progress after chemoradiation, you consolidate with osimertinib instead of durvalumab. This is based on the LAURA trial, and this is seen in the NCCN guidelines.
Definitely. I just have to give a shout out to Dr. Eric Singhi, one of the thoracic oncologist that we're friends with, he referred to our podcast as his DERVA consolidation when studying for port.
Awesome.
Which I love. So next, what are key factors for surgical candidacy?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about surgery. So we need to be aware that FEV1 greater than 1.5 liter is what you need for a lobectomy, greater than 2 liters for a pneumonectomy. For stage 1, 2, or 3A with resectability confirmed by a thoracic surgeon, you guys need to be talking about multi-Ds. Lobectomy remains the standard for operable patients, but again, wedge resections or SBRT are alternative, especially if these patients don't have the lung capacity for big surgeries.
Definitely. And what are the adjuvant chemo regimens then for stage 2 and 3 non-small cell lung cancer?
Yep. So I made mention of, you know, multiple chemo doublets. So we're talking about cisplatin or carboplatin doublet with venorelbine. So we need to watch out for neuropathy and cytopenias or paclitaxel or docetaxel or gemcitabine, which has less neutropenia, or pemetrexed if it's an adenocarcinoma. So non-squam only, you can talk about pemetrexed. So in general, for squamous, we're talking about cisplatin with gem or cisplatin with docetaxel for 4 cycles. For adenocarcinoma, we're talking cisplatin with pemetrexed for 4 cycles. The ADORA trial, again, this did include adjuvant chemotherapy, was used in at least half the patients. So you can consider that if a patient's a candidate, but also be aware of in the ALENA trial, which was the ALK trial, it was chemo-free. So it truly did not answer the question of, is chemo still needed? And that needs to be a case-by-case discussion.
And do we ever give post-operative radiation?
This is controversial still. The PORT meta-analysis showed inferior survivals for stage 1 and 2 and no difference in stage 3. So PORT is not routinely given after complete resection.
And what are some special circumstances?
So 2 special circumstances, superior sulcus tumor. So if resectable, chemo radiation, then surgery. If unresectable, start with chemo radiation and consolidate with durvalumab. With chest wall invasion, you need to be thinking about multimodality. So surgery, then chemo and or radiation, or chemo RT, then surgery.
Absolutely. So I feel like Sam and I walked out of our test day. Again, it was a couple years ago at this point, but we had so many stage 2 and 3 non-small cell lung cancer questions, particularly the PACIFIC trial came up again and again, and that hasn't changed. So prepare for at least a question on that. So Sam, what are our key takeaways?
Yep. So staging is now based on the 9th edition as of January of 25. So it's going to be fair game on the boards. It's over a year, year and a half old. So the T stage unchanged. N2 is split into N2A and N2B. And then M1C is split now into M1C1 and M1C2. For stage 1A, this is less than 3 centimeters, N0. You're talking about definitive surgery or SBRT, no systemic therapy. For resectable, greater than or equal to 4 centimeter, node positive non-small cell lung cancers, you're going to be checking the EGFR and the ALK. If their EGFR and ALK negative, pick one chemo IO strategy, whether that's the neoadjuvant Oli nivolumab or it's the perioperative immunotherapy with either Pembro, Durva, or Nevo. If you find the driver positive in resectable disease, if EGFR, you're thinking about osimertinib. If ALK, you're thinking about alectinib. And then rarely if you see RET, you have selpercatinib. Again, it's category 1, but it's not FDA approved. And there's no perioperative immune checkpoint inhibitors if you find that driver mutation. Lastly, we have the unresectable stage 3s. You're talking about definitive chemo RT, followed by the durvalumab or osimertinib if they're EGFR mutated.
Absolutely. So as always, thank you for listening. If you're enjoying these episodes, we always really, really appreciate if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're enjoying. And please feel free to reach out to us with corrections or comments on our Instagram or Twitter, 2OncDucs.